Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Thursday, September the 30th. And welcome to our commentary. This is the last day of September. I think I had said last week that there was one more week. No, there's only 30 days in September, if you forgot that, which obviously I did. So there's only 30 days in September. So we say goodbye to December on this December the 30th. Let me talk a little bit today. I have a post over at the American Thinker about the mayor of New York, Mayor Adams, and what a disappointment he's been, frankly, not to me, but to the people who live there who actually voted for him. And, you know, people are very disappointed. He was supposed to be tough on crime and hasn't quite done much of anything. Now, it's not all his fault, and we'll get into that in a minute. But let me talk about the hurricane. I hope that everybody listening or watching down in Florida is okay. Most of the people I know appear to be okay, but it's been a tough hurricane. It's been a tough hurricane. And, you know, I think everybody's doing their best. One of the things that happens when you have an event like this, whether it's a hurricane or whatever, a tornado or a heavy storm, whatever it may be, there's a lot of people in the background who do a lot of work, who get very little credit because you never see them. But they're the ones doing all the heavy lifting, you know, the people clearing the streets, the people running the different shelters. And very often, you know, we don't talk about them. So I just want to salute them, all of the people who are doing all the heavy lifting. Unfortunately, the media gets obsessed with the governor, particularly in this case, Governor DeSantis, because he is a likely presidential candidate. So the media is obsessed with him and how well he's doing and all of this. And, you know, I find this, honestly, I find it repulsive because this is the governor who's, you know, running a situation where people are dying, where there are people in danger, where there are people stranded. And the idea that we would politicize this, I think it's ridiculous. I mean, I don't care if the governor is a Democrat or a Republican. You know, you have a tough situation. And again, I think they're doing fine. They're doing fine in Florida. And to start, you know, getting into the politics of this or scoring this, like this is some kind of a political box score, I just think that's very, very unfortunate. Now, of course, I believe that all of this began with President George W. Bush and Katrina, where, you know, he was accused of everything when, in fact, I thought they did a pretty good job in Katrina. I mean, they were able to get in there. The problem in Katrina was not President Bush. The problem in Katrina was that you had terrible local leadership that, frankly, did not do their job. And they kept some of the federal assistance out of town, and that's the reason why things got so bad. But once the federal assistance got in, things were turned around quite well. And I think President George W. Bush deserves a little bit of credit for what they did down there. But, of course, you know, that was politicized in such a crazy way, and the race card was brought into the whole thing, and it was a pitiful performance by many in the media and by many of President Bush's critics. And again, I think if you look at the overall product now, 17 years later, I think President George W. Bush and his administration did a pretty good job in Katrina, especially that one being a historic hurricane. So let's get the politics out of this, and let's just, you know, let's take care of the people who are being impacted by all of this. That's what the focus should be, not who's winning, who's losing. That to me seems so completely out of place. Well, I have a post over at the American Thinker today talking about Mayor Eric Adams, the mayor of New York City, just elected last year. He took office on the first or second day of January. He was elected for two reasons. Number one, because he had a very weak Republican opponent. The Republican Party in New York City, for whatever reason, just isn't very strong. So he didn't have a very strong opponent. And the second reason is that he promised to do something about the crime problem in New York City, which is a very serious problem. Well, here we are now 10 months into it, and he's not doing a very good job. People are very unhappy with him. Now, part of the problem, as I mentioned in my article, is that he's got two things to overcome that are very difficult. Number one is the city council in New York City is extremely radical to the left. I mean, just unbelievably radical to the left. And, you know, they tend to support all of these DAs who are letting people out and who are making life difficult for the citizens. So the city council is a problem. And then the governor is no better. You know, the governor is a disaster on top of that. And I think a lot of people in New York City would like to see the mayor challenge the governor and say, you know, governor, you got to give me some help here. You know, my citizens are demanding some help when it comes to crime and to violence. But the governor is not doing anything either. So I kind of think that the mayor of New York City has kind of given up for the time being. And my guess, just my guess on my part, is that he's probably hoping that the Republican candidate for governor, Lee Zeldin, wins. Because I think Lee Zeldin is going to be doing more to help Mayor Adams to put some common sense back into the criminal justice system in New York City than the current governor is doing. So I bet you privately that Mayor Adams is wishing for Lee Zeldin to win, because the city of New York needs leadership, and the governor of New York right now is not providing any of it. So what you need to do is you got to get rid of these DAs who are putting people back in the streets and who are not prosecuting criminals. But unfortunately, the mayor is limited, and if he doesn't get any help from the governor or the city council, he's limited. Let's face it, he's limited, even though people, of course, expected a lot more of him. Many of you may be familiar with something called the Babylon Bee. The Babylon Bee is a political satire website. It's absolutely fabulous. I check it every day. I don't know where these people come up with some of the things that they do. But today there is a great article, and the headline of the article is that Speaker Pelosi is going to be introducing articles of impeachment against the Prime Minister of Italy, the new lady Prime Minister, who was elected. I'm not sure if she's officially the Prime Minister yet, but she will be, I guess, as soon as that happens. I'm not sure when that is. And of course, if you look at the Western media and the way that many in the Western media are reacting to the election of this lady, you would think that this lady is like Mussolini or something like that. When in fact, if you watch her speeches, she is what we would call probably a center-right Republican. You know, she's talking a great deal about the importance of the family. She's concerned about the identity of her country with this influx of immigration into Italy. She's concerned a lot about government not working for people. And this is something that we're seeing, and I think we're going to see a lot more of this in Europe, because what you have in Europe is very high-taxed societies where, hello, my friend, I am. Good to see you. And you have very high-taxed societies, very highly regulated. And these societies, you know, these are the societies that take care of you, the welfare state and all that kind of stuff. But the reality is that they're not taking care of people. You know, you pay very high taxes, but the government is extremely inefficient. And people are getting fed up with that. And that's what I think we're seeing in Italy. You're seeing that, I think, in Sweden. And I think you're going to see it in other countries as well. You know, I remember during the COVID crisis a couple of years ago that they had a serious problem in Italy. And I remember talking to somebody from Italy, and he was complaining about how lousy the public hospitals were. The public hospitals were just a disaster. They couldn't keep up with the patients and everything else that was going on. And much of the blame was going to the fact that these hospitals were not run like hospitals. They were more run for political reasons. So instead of having, let's say, the management of a hospital be medical professionals, as is the case here in the United States, what you had was just a political appointment. So if I win, I make my political appointment over here at this hospital, I give him this job, much like, you know, we do with ambassadors and so on. And the consequence is that the hospitals are not operating as efficiently as they could. So I think that's the rebellion that we're seeing in Europe. We saw that in Sweden. We're seeing it now in Italy. Now, I'm not saying that this rebellion is going to fix all the problems, because there are some deep-seated problems But I think people are reacting and they're saying, hey, we got to change. You know, we're paying all these taxes and we're not getting very good government services. You know, we're paying all these taxes and when we need for the healthcare system to work, it doesn't work, despite the fact that we're paying all of these taxes. But anyway, the reaction to this lady in Italy is pretty hysterical, the reaction that we're seeing from many in the media. And look, we got to give this lady a chance. Let's see what she does. She may not be able to fix the problems of Italy because, they're, as I said before, they're very serious. But at least the people in Italy are willing to try something else. And because what they've been doing up to now has not been working very effectively. So we'll keep an eye on this lady. We'll see how she will do. She has a difficult job ahead. I'm not discounting that. But at least she's got some new ideas. You know, she's not just saying, hey, let's do the socialistic thing all over again, because that socialist idea is not producing results in many of those countries. Well, I'm sure you remember a few months ago when President Biden, maybe not a few months ago, a couple months ago, when President Biden decided that he was going to, let's say, forgive all the student loans, not all of them, but a certain number of them. And that became a very controversial issue. And in fact, politically, it has backfired on the Democrats, because a lot of people out there are looking at this and they're going, wait a minute, you know, why am I paying for somebody else's education? Well, it looks like six states are lining up to challenge the president on a constitutional basis. And we said this at the very beginning, that there was no constitutional grounds for the president of the United States to forgive these debts. Now, the Congress can do it. The Congress could pass a law that says, you know, we're going to forgive these debts, but the president cannot do it by executive order. And there are six states already that have lined up to challenge President Biden in the courts. There is also a foundation challenging the president on the same thing. So we'll see how it goes. I believe that this will go to the Supreme Court. And the Supreme Court will determine that the President of the United States does not have the authority to forgive or to cancel debt in this fashion. That is simply not something that he has the authority to do. And I believe that will be the conclusion of the Supreme Court probably sometime in the next 6 months or so when they get to the opinion. Well, let me leave you today with On This Day in History, like we always like to do. And I want to say happy number 87. To Jerry Lee Lewis. Now, if you're a fan of rock music like I am, and you like the history of rock music like I do, Jerry Lee Lewis was one of the original characters, one of the guys from the mid-50s, you know, Johnny Cash, Elvis Presley, Fats Domino, Little Richard, Carl Perkins, who am I forgetting? Roy Orbison was one of them too. There's a bunch of them. What I like to call the grandfathers of rock, going back to the middle 50s, I think Jerry Lee Lewis is the only one around. Maybe Little Richard is still around. But these guys are obviously older. They're 87, like in the case of Jerry Lee Lewis. And these were the grandfathers of rock. These were the guys who got this thing going back then. They were the ones who put, you know, rock music on the radio. And Jerry Lee Lewis had tremendous energy, tremendous energy. If you listen to any of his songs, like Whole Lot of Shaking Going On and all of that, the guy had tremendous energy. And that comes through with any of his songs. So happy number 87 to Jerry Lee Lewis, one of the grandfathers of rock, one of those guys that got this thing started back in the middle 50s. And I'm pretty sure he's the only one left. I mean, there may be others that I'm overlooking, but I'm pretty sure he's the only one left. Thank you for listening. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, and have a great day. Bye-bye, everybody.